Welcome to the Living the Dream podcast with Curveball. If you believe, you can achieve. Welcome to the Living the Dream with Curveball podcast, a show where I interview guests that teach, motivate, and inspire. Today, I am joined by former Marine captain, author, business coach, and professor Jason Downing. Jason is a combat veteran that has served multiple tours overseas. He has multiple graduate degrees with honors. He works as a professor. He's also a business consultant. He has a book out called Awakening the Warrior Spirit. So we're going to be talking to him, his story, and about the Awakening the Warrior Spirit. So, Jason, thank you so much for joining me today.
Hey, thanks for having me. It's a pleasure being here.
Why don't you start off by telling everybody a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, so I grew up in, you know, San Diego, California, born and raised, and always had a great respect for the military and for people who served. One of the most impressionable impacts on me from a very young age was going to my uncle's funeral. He was a California Highway Patrolman, and they called him S.A. Uno out in San Diego. And he was, you know, just hearing everybody talk about him and how much respect that they had for his service. It left a lasting impact on me, and I wanted to be able to figure out what I could do in order to be able to, you know, create an impact on my community and be able to leave a legacy. And so that was something that just the kind of a mission statement that occurred to me very early in my life. And when I was at college, I decided to go to a 10-week training program with the Marines, and it was called OCS, Officer Candidate School. And it's more or less boot camp, but for officers. And that's where you're trained and tested to see if you have what it takes to be a Marine Corps officer. And that was 10 weeks in Virginia. And even though I got my butt kicked royally out there, I had an absolutely phenomenal experience. I loved the mentality and the ethos that I was taught while I was out there, all about broadening your perspective and having responsibility for yourself, but then also broadening that scope and realizing that you have a responsibility to your friends, to your teammates, to your unit, to the social group that you belong to your community, and then even larger than that, possibly to your nation, if you're able to handle that. And all about living with integrity, living with honor, and embracing a strong and powerful mode of living that would enable you to create a lasting impact. I kind of found what I had been looking for. And so that's what I decided to do after I left college. I joined the Marines, went on two tours, one to Afghanistan, and the second to the Western Pacific, and had so many great experiences, learned a lot, had a lot of great mentorships in the Marines. And then after those two deployments, I just, you know, I realized that my next mission statement really involved, you know, something outside the Marines, because I had really accomplished everything I'd wanted to in the Marines. I'd been able to go overseas. I'd been able to lead a platoon, and I could talk about that in detail. But yeah, so that's what I'm figuring out now. That's what I'm doing now, is I'm living on like the next mission statement of my life and trying to give to others what was given to me. And that's just a code and an ethos, a way of living that engages, that promotes personal responsibility and creating power in the individual such that they can reach their dreams. Just like your podcast says, living the dreams with the curveball. So that's what I'm trying to do right now.
Well, you also work as a professor and you have multiple graduate degrees with honors. So would you want to kind of highlight those for the listeners?
Sure. Yeah.
What you do as a professor?
Well, I don't. Yes. So absolutely. Following the Marines, I went to school, got my master's in business administration, and then started working for a number of different, you know, Fortune 500 companies over the following years. Then when COVID hit, you know, we were all locked inside. Life was changing radically for everybody, and everybody was super stressed out. And so we were all kind of faced with that. What do I do now that I'm locked up inside? I needed to find something to do. So I actually applied to another graduate program. It was a year-long kind of truncated master's program at the University of San Diego, and was able to get into that. So now I have a master's degree in finance, which complements well with the business degree. So now I use both of those degrees. I work as a financial consultant, helping companies to value their businesses. That's kind of what I do for, a 9-to-5 job. And on the side, I've also worked as a college professor at a couple of local universities, teaching everything from business, finance, entrepreneurship, and then also public speaking, communication skills, which is one of the greatest skills, I think, that that people can learn when they're in an educational environment, is how to stand up in front of a group of people, present themselves professionally, and to be able to do that effectively. And if you learn that simple skill, I mean, you can really accelerate your growth, and there's really no limit to the heights that you can reach. And one thing I really enjoyed about that is, for me personally, I'm actually a quite an introverted person by nature. I'm not the life of the party. That's my wife, but not me. And so getting up in front of a group of young adults and being able to tell them that it doesn't matter whether or not you're introverted or extroverted, you can be a great public speaker. You can stand up in front of people and give a professional presentation and present yourself effectively, even if this is not something that your personality naturally lends itself towards. And so that's just something that I love being able to relay to students.
Okay, well, I hope I'm pronouncing this right, but I know you talk about the modern day Ronin. So
Ronin, yes.
Ronin, okay. Yeah, I figured I might butcher that, but tell us what a modern day Ronin is, and what is the issue with it?
The Ronin is actually a term that comes from the Japanese samurai. And so the Japanese samurai, as everybody knows, were an ancient group of warriors that left really a lasting impact on Japanese civilization and really on martial arts training around the world. That's how well-respected they were. And they were trained to be warriors from the age of 5. They were trained in swordsmanship. They were trained in military discipline. They were trained in military strategy. And they were also trained to obey their master. That was the kind of the purpose of their existence, was to obey their master and to honor their master and to protect their master. Now, Ronin was a samurai who, through one fault or another, through an unfortunate circumstance or potentially through warfare, had lost his master. His master had died. And what happens, he then became a Ronin because he didn't have any purpose to live for. And the word Ronin in Japanese language is written with the characters for floating and man. So it was a floating man, you know, somebody adrift, somebody without purpose, without meaning in their lives. And consequently, they went one of two directions, is they would either get involved in banditry, thievery, or they would, join whatever, warlord raised the battle flag in the area. So they were a source of community instability in the region and in the civilization, or many of them would even commit suicide because they just couldn't bear the shame of a life without any purpose. And when I came across that story, it just really, really struck me, because when I left the Marines and I tried to transition back into civilian life, even though I had planned for it, even though, I thought that I was well prepared, I didn't realize what a big gap it would be leaving in my life. You know, the source of identity that I had for so many years of being a Marine and having a mission statement, having a purpose, something greater to live for, was just like that. One day it was just gone, and I needed to try to figure out what was next. And that was a very difficult thing for me to do. I got into a downward spiral for a while. Started self-medicating. It was a bad, you know, a bad deal for a while, and I lost some relationships and went through a number of hard years of my life following leaving the Marines, because it just left this huge gap. And you know, so once I got out of that kind of that downward spiral, and I kind of picked my head up and I looked around, I realized just how many other veterans out there were experiencing many of the same things that I did. And I think that, you know, the disturbing number of veteran suicides every single day, every single year, is kind of a testament to the fact that this impact of the Ronin mentality is not unique to the Japanese civilization. And then as I was writing the book, I even took that a step further and realized that a lot of people, even people who have never been in the military, but a lot of the young adults that I meet at the college level that I've taught, a lot of them are feeling very much the same thing. I saw it a lot during COVID, when everybody was stressed out and, you know, the nation was very divided at the time. And people are just wondering, you know, what is the purpose? What is the meaning of my life? Where do I fit in? What, you know, where is my identity? Where do I belong? And there's not a lot of hope out there. So that's the case of what I call the modern day Ronin. It's this sense of purposeless and meaninglessness that I've seen in young people. And I've also seen it in the veteran population. And it's something that I'm trying to provide a solution for in my book.
Okay, everybody, it's Michael E. Cullen II.
And I'm Sesame Incarta from the All Too Real 2 podcast. We're passionate about movies, TV, and pretty much all things pop culture.
Dive into the chaos of failed sitcoms, direct-to-video sequels, and the quirky realms of cinema and TV.
Join us every Thursday for your dose of All Too Real 2 entertainment.
We'll guide you through debates like whether Howard the Duck qualifies as a superhero.
Ponder if Larry the Cable Guy could be the new Rock or Schwarzenegger.
Discover if some shows and movies should have stayed in the cutting room.
Ever heard of a sitcom featuring that dictator with the funny mustache? Well, we watched it.
We're dedicated to unraveling the peculiarities of pop culture, sometimes with awesome guests.
So, if you're into the eccentric world of pop culture,
listen and subscribe to All Too Real 2.
Available wherever you find podcasts
and on Age of Radio.
Well, what do you feel the solution is?
Well, that's to put it succinctly, I believe that the solution to living life, you know, without purpose is to live life with purpose. And that is to purposely pursue life with the warrior spirit. And so that is about engaging your responsibilities that you have in your life and living a life that is full of the honorable warrior virtues. And I go through four of them in the book. I start out with the service mentality, which I've already kind of alluded to, that idea of it's more than just personal responsibility. You understand who you are as an individual, but you also understand the social obligation you have to your team, to your family, and to your community. The second virtue I talk through is the idea of truth, you know, living a life that's honest, that's full of truth. And truth is a rather tricky concept in our modern day. Maybe it's always been that way, but it seems to be particularly tricky nowadays. And so I just dive into that topic, like kind of how do you live an honest and truthful life in our modern day culture? The third virtue is strength. And then I also talk about power in that chapter, how to be strong and powerful as an individual, and to also realize how to use your strength in order to better those around you. And then the fourth virtue I talk through is what I call fortitude, which is, you know, how you react and how you deal with the hardships and the suffering that will inevitably come in life. When the storms come, when the curveballs come, how do you react to that? Do you crumble and fall, or are you able to rise to the challenge and meet those challenges head on? So in short, that's the answer that I provide.
Well, you say Western culture is in a culture war. Explain that.
Yeah, there's a lot of competing ideas out there, which are all vying for our attention right now. And it seems like a lot of the more traditional values that seem to you kind of be taken for granted or seem to animate and kind of undergird our thinking for a very long time are under attack. To where, you know, we'll take the idea of power, you know, it used to be taken for granted, kind of assumes that strong people made for strong communities and strong communities made for a strong nation, and that it was individuals that were able to affect other people and society and the world around them, that if you lived a purposeful or responsible and meaningful life, that you would be able to have an impact around you. And it just seems like that may be no longer the case. And so that's what I talk about when I talk about a culture war. I just mean that there's a disagreement on values, which we seem to be navigating right now. And it's, you know, I go back to, I started writing the book during COVID. And so I think that we really all felt it during that time when there was just so much division, and it doesn't seem like either side of this particular quote unquote culture war is able to just sit down and talk to each other anymore. And we get online, we throw insults at each other back and forth. We don't really have real conversations, because it's hard to have real conversations when you're on a social media platform. You're not really talking to an individual. You're just talking to an avatar of the individual, many of whom just, you know, they don't actually even have their real name on it. And so, you know, it's this breakdown of communication, this breakdown of understanding, this breakdown of compromise. And it seems to be, you know, getting worse. I think that, you know, social media has been exacerbating the problem. People get trapped inside echo chambers where they only ever hear their own opinion being echoed back to them, and are unwilling to engage with the other side, which makes it more and more easy to demonize the other side. And you know, whatever side that may be, you know, there's hundreds of different issues out there, and there's hundreds of different stances you can take on any issue, but there's always an other, a quote unquote other, that you can demonize and throw stones at without actually bothering to talk to them and understand them. So that's what I talk about in this culture war. I'm talking about the division that's just, we've seen it on our news media, we've seen it on social media. That's what I'm talking about in the midst of all this.
You also talk about praying for peace, but preparing for war. So yes. Explain your concept on that.
That flows from the idea. That's the final chapter of my book. You know, I talk a lot in the first several chapters about the virtues that I've already discussed. And in the final chapter, I wanted to put kind of some meat on the bones and give some practical advice. And so that's where I really dig into that idea. Praying for peace, but preparing for war is a concept in the military that's also kind of goes by the idea that the more you bleed in peacetime, or excuse me, the more you sweat in peacetime, the less you bleed in wartime. And, you know, if you go and you talk to anybody in the sporting arena, they'll say, you know, how you practice is how you play. That's the same idea. So it's all well and good to pray for peace. We all, you know, warriors, especially professional soldiers, professional Marines, we love peacetime. But the only way you get to have true and lasting peace, I believe, in your life is if you're able to prepare for the hard times, because the hard times are coming. It's not if, it's when. So are you going to be prepared or are you going to be unprepared? That's really the only question you have to answer. And how you practice, how you prepare during those times of peace and tranquility in your life is going to determine how you fight or how you play during the more difficult times of your life. To say it another way, you don't rise to the level of the challenge, rather you fall to the level of your habits. That's been said many, many times. And it's something I truly believe in, that when the hard times come along, you're going to fall to the baseline level of what you practice every single day. And so, you know, it just raises the question, what do you practice every single day? What is it that's the norm for you? Because that's going to determine how you're able to fight through those more difficult seasons of your life.
So tell the listeners where they can purchase the book.
They can purchase the book on Amazon. They can also find more about me at thewarriorjournal.com is my website. There's also a link to the book in there, as well as some blogs and some that I've written and some information about what I'm currently doing. I'm also currently writing a collaborative book. The book is going to be called Coaching Greatness, and I'm writing with a number of fitness professionals and fitness coaches that some of whom are world renowned. And so that book is going to be showing up there probably by the end of this year, maybe the beginning of next year. But that's another project that's going to be on that website before long.
Well, that was my next question. Besides that book, what else are you working on that people need to know about?
Yeah, I'm really excited about this current project. It's like I said, the book is going to be called Coaching Greatness. I believe that's going to be the title. At least that's the working title right now. And I'm writing it with one of the main individuals that's spearheading the project. His name's Todd Durkin, a close personal friend of mine, a personal coach, and somebody who's it's not over exaggerating to say he's a world renowned speaker, podcaster, and fitness coach. He is the fitness professional who has coached people like Drew Brees and LaDainian Tomlinson. So this is a guy who's been in the business for 30 plus years, really knows what he's doing. And he has surrounded himself with a number of just amazing individuals, amazing coaches, and people who are, you know, making impacts in their community and creating a legacy around them. And so I was able to secure a spot to write a chapter in this book. And so each one of the authors, there's a few different authors, is going to be writing a chapter based on like their experiences in coaching or what coaching means to them. And so for me, that's exactly what I'm doing. And I'm writing, you know, from the military perspective of what coaching means to me. I haven't finished the chapter yet, but, you know, I can give a little preview. To me, the idea of coaching really boils down to the idea of authentic leadership is what I call it. And, you know, the more I've thought about it, the ideas of leadership and coaching are really inseparable. They're two sides of the same coin, because the greatest coaches that I've ever known, you can think of even in football terms or any other sport that you like to watch, the greatest coaches are great leaders, and the greatest leaders know how to coach. So I think really they're two sides of the same coin. And that's an idea that I'm going to be exploring in the chapter as I move it forward. Really excited about that.
Okay, you threw out your website. So close us out with any final thoughts that you might have. If I forgot to talk about something that you would like to touch on, or just any final thoughts you have.
Yeah, it's been a pleasure speaking with you today. Final thoughts are that, you know, there's a lot of unwinnable games out there that we're being asked to play. And I encourage people to not engage in those. Play the games that are going to make you better and are going to contribute to your family, to your community, to your health. Be a warrior in your life and create lasting impact. That's my encouragement.
Ladies and gentlemen, thewarriorjournal.com, Jason Downing. Please be sure to check out the website, pick up the book, keep up with everything that he's up to. Follow, rate, review, share this episode to as many people as possible, especially all the military veterans and people out there. If you have any guests or suggestion topics, cjackson102@cox.net is the place to send them. Jason, thank you for your service and all that you do, and thank you for joining us today.
Thanks so much for having me. It was a pleasure.
For more information on the Living the Dream podcast, visit www.djcurveball.com. Until next time, stay focused on living the dream.